appreciate the introduction. I appreciate the opportunity to preach. Many of you know that I've been struggling with voice problems for 4 or 5 years, really. And I feel like it's strong enough tonight to preach all night. But this is not the night. So it is greatly improved. We do some things sometimes that we think are helping us. A few years ago, I learned I had type 2 diabetes, and I'd been drinking diet sodas for about 20 years then, or longer. And I thought, well, you know, if you're diabetic and you cut out all the sugar you can, you substitute it with aspartame, and that poisons your body and your throat. So now I'm off all the diet sodas and no longer have any aspartame intake. And the Lord has blessed, and we're thankful even for His blessings. I can say to Mark Titus, with that garb he's carrying around, it's so wonderful when you get off of that saddle that you have to wear for the first few weeks. But it does get better, and the Lord can bless it, and you can pretty well get back to normal. So Brother Gordon hadn't had his done yet, and he doesn't want to talk about it. So it's good to be here. I feel kind of like Peter once when he didn't know what to say, and he said, it's good for us to be here. That's about all he knew to say at that moment. And I appreciate the invitation to preach. We've been coming here for quite a number of years. We had a little interval or a gap in our coming here when we first moved to North Carolina. And I've told this before, but Brother Don Titus got in his mind that something had happened and I just didn't like him anymore. We couldn't afford to come, and we stayed home. You know, that's what you do sometimes when you don't have the money to do certain things. And so, and I wouldn't tell anybody. I'm kind of like the fellow in the parable. I don't like to beg. And so there's nothing wrong with telling people sometimes when you have needs. Remember Brother Darrell Titus in prayer. He was supposed to learn something today about his biopsies that he had last week. And there is a possibility that he has prostate cancer, and that's what they're checking him for. And so remember him. We've not, my daughter's been letting me know if she hears anything, and she's not heard anything today. So he was supposed to get the results today. Turn your Bibles, please, to the book of Exodus, chapter 19. I had a sermon that would have straightened out all the problems that anybody would have brought here tonight if I had just preached it. But I laid that one aside, and I realize I do a survey sometimes mentally of my preaching, and a lot of my preaching has to do with problems and straightening things out, and that's a pastor's lot sometimes, and that's part of the ministry. But Brother Gordon's going to straighten everything out here after all us preachers leave. He's the pastor. And I do mean that, and I do respect it. And I feel like I could preach on anything I thought the Lord was leading me to preach on here, and we'd still be friends. But in the book of Exodus, chapter 19, you'd like to read verse 4. God is promising Israel here that He'll bless them. And He said, you have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. Now in Deuteronomy 32, remember if you will that verse. In Deuteronomy 32, verses 11 and 12. As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings, so did the Lord alone lead him, and there was no strange God in him. He's talking about Jacob and the lot of Jacob's people. And he uses a metaphor or a simile here of God's care over us as an eagle does over her young. God used a lot of terms in the Bible, farming terms, animal husbandry, sheep, ox, goats, lambs, even a chicken, gathering her chicks. And he does that so that we may appreciate some of his characteristics that we can't relate to any other way. There's very little about the sovereignty of God that we can really relate to without some kind of a demonstrative example. God demonstrates to us, even in the animal kingdom sometimes, how he cares for us. And so we will attempt tonight to look at how an eagle cares for their young. Now in Palestine, there is an eagle that's similar to our eagles. They do not have the white or bald look upon their head, but they're in the same family. But most of the eagles of Palestine are black. But anybody that studies our eagles here or the eagles there soon learns that they're very dedicated to their offspring. And they put that first and foremost in everything they do. And the eagle builds a special nest. We might note also by what we observe and see, that is that the eagle's nest, the height of the nest, is in itself an immediate danger to the young ones when they're hatched. They're in the most dangerous place that the eaglets can be when they're hatched. The eagle prepares the nest. And she and her mate, by the way, mate for life. Only does death separate them. That teaches us something as well. Even in the animal kingdom, the most productive work is a pair that mates for life. And until one of them dies, they don't seek another mate. I wish we could learn that in America and also in Baptist churches. God has a plan. But the eagle builds the nest, and she uses thorns. She uses grass. She uses twigs, and she uses some mud. And over the thorns, she puts a bed that is soft and comfortable. And as the young eagles grow, they get pretty comfortable with mom bringing them fish and mice and tearing them up and letting them eat them. And that may not sound very appetizing to us, but I've never been a little eagle that's been hungry. So, but the both the mom and the dad feed the young. And about the time they start getting heavy enough to really feather out and get comfortable in their nest, the weight of that little eagle's body begins to get down against the thorns as they wallow around. And they begin to get uncomfortable with the nest. Most of the time, after about a week or two, when the eagles come in, both the female and the male, they'll stand on the edge of the nest and they'll flutter their wings and flop around like something's wrong with them for a minute. But they're already teaching the little ones how to fly, just by observation. And there's a lot in this that I may not get out tonight, but I believe the Lord's mind is for his people that we have wings. And the eagle's wings cause them to ride above the storms. Instead of the currents wearing them out, they use the currents to fix their wings and rest at times. And the turmoil down below holds them above all of the turmoil that's going on in the world. Wings that can cope with the elements and master them. God is averse to our remaining in soft nest, lined with comfort and convenience, and being fed on what makes us lazy and inconsiderate and hard. God tempers everything in our life, and this is what we want to try to demonstrate with this. God tempers everything in our life, even the dangers and the hard things and the things where inside we feel like we're going to die as certain things happen to us and to our loved ones, and they do. Whether we like to admit it or not, at best, in the bringing up of our children, we have some failures along the way. At best, in our homes, we are inconsistent at times. But our children learn from us. They learn by the mistakes that we make. They learn by the things we do right, whether you believe it or not. They are observing continually. And God treats us as His dear children. We are dependent on what comes from His good hand, just like the fledglings that are hatched or the eaglets that are hatched are totally dependent upon what mom and dad bring in and tear apart for them. And they get to looking several times a day for the parents to come back. And when they get bigger and stronger, they begin to get restless. Now, the Word of God tells us some things that we need to always keep in view. I'm beginning to believe and realize that the statement, pride goeth before a fall and a haughty spirit before destruction, isn't just a warning. I believe it's a declaration as to what we can expect if, as we said where I grew up, we get too big for our britches. Pride goeth before a fall. When we get lifted up in pride, we are going to crash. If the little eagle decides to leave the nest before the parent teaches them how to leave, as he falls, his mother knows how to fold up and fall faster than he does. And she gets under him before he hits the ground. God does that with us. Sometimes we are aware of it. Sometimes we are only aware of it when we look back. The Bible tells us, in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Then he says, apart from me, you can do nothing. We need to always keep that in view. We should have goals, and we should desire to achieve in the service of the Lord. We should be pressing forward. We should be continually, those of us who are preachers should be continually striving to improve upon our ministry, upon our preaching, upon our deliverance, and upon our presentation of the things of God to God's people. Preachers need to know when to use a surgical knife instead of an axe. There is a difference. We need to know even how to treat our most rebellious people. Recently, and in the last few days, I'll not go into detail, but my wife and I sat down at our table one night, and I prayed out loud for somebody who had tried to do us very much harm a few years ago. And the Lord has dealt sorely with them. Not because of who I am, but because of who I represent. It hurt the church, and it hurt me, and I don't enjoy seeing anybody fall or fail. Even if they deserve what happens to them, I never enjoy that. There's something wrong with you when you do. It's a bad spirit. We're not in the business of working in the vineyard of the Lord Jesus Christ to get carried away with trying to hurt somebody else because they've displeased us. We shall all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, and an answer will be given for all of our lives there. But here, this remains to be true, and we need it before us continually. Man has an utter inability by nature to produce or achieve anything for God's satisfaction. It's equally true that by new birth we inherit a new set of spiritual faculties, but we still do have the flesh, and we need to always keep that in mind. Paul said, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? We have great power, great possibilities. Just as an infant, when he or she is born, might possess great powers and possibilities in their life, but they have to be fed, they have to be taught, and they have to be developed as time goes on. They do not become full grown. A child may have great talents and headlong into utter destruction because of moral degradation. And we can think sometimes of the possibilities that certain people may have had and did have, and they squandered them and threw them away because the flesh was overcome by the temptations of this life. We need to be aware always of what can happen to us. The development of the young eagle's faculties and powers take place in a realm which spells disaster and death, but for the parents. You and I need to understand the world is not our friend.
Right.
We may be blessed, and we may, comfort's more important to my wife and me than it used to be. And we may have a portion of health and strength, and we may get along pretty well, and retirement may even look pretty good. But we're in the flesh. And we're perishing. When you reach a certain point in your life, some different than others, you're going to lose some of your strength. You're going to lose some of your health. Some of you ask me about Brother Jones, and I give reports while I'm preaching sometimes. But the last 2 months, when I've really stressed upon the individual's need of Jesus Christ as their Savior, and we have lost people in our church every service, Brother Jones has stepped out and come forward and said, Brother Asbury, I'm lost. I need to be saved. It's pitiful. Pray for him and Brenda. How do you deal with that? I called him aside. I said, Brother Jones, if you're lost, can you trust the Lord right now? Yes, I can. Yes, I am. And he'll look at me, smile, say, I'm okay now. He may do that again in 2 months or 6 weeks or in a month. And it just breaks my heart. He's been a friend of the Lord, and he's been a friend of preachers. And he'll still, if he can detect once in a while, he come by me here a while back. And of course, this is Brother Jones, and it was Brother V.A. Turner, too. He looked at me and said, so-and-so giving you a problem? I said, no, Brother Jones. And he was ready to straighten it out right then. But we don't ever know, really, what's going to happen to us next. But we know who controls all of that. We, like the eagles, live in a realm that is death to spirituality. There is a battle daily. Some days may not be as strong as others, but there are attacks, there are temptations, there are discouragements daily. I'm glad I got to preach first tonight. We're about ready to sell Brother Joe Collins' sermon on depression and start getting royalties off of it. If I'd have followed him, his sermon would overshadow mine. None of you heard a thing I said. And I love Brother Joel. He's a good friend. We just hit it off. Some people you do that with. But people are having depression. People are in despair. People are looking around, and all of a sudden life is really getting to be frightening. And our hope's not in gold or silver or guns. Some of you know I like firearms. People asked me the other day, said, do you buy any precious metals? I said, I've been buying them for years. I got hundreds of pounds of them. They got a stock and a forearm on them, most of them. But that's not going to save us, folks. And I don't trust a government that wants to disarm me. I'm getting a little bit astray here. But the Lord is going to sustain us like the eagle family does the little ones, or we're not going to make it. There'll not be anything happen to us that the Lord's not in control of and that He either doesn't give permission to or send directly to us. Nothing. We believe that. We know that. We get scared every day because we can't really apply that to our own hearts like we'd like to. Here, the young eagles live in a realm that they know nothing about. They don't know how to fly. They may be on the side of a cliff. They may be 60 feet up in a tree. They may be on a precipice that once they stepped out of that nest, if they were left to their own doing, they'd die. And God said to the children of Israel and to Jacob's people, He said, I brought you out on eagle's wings. I took care of you like an eagle stirreth up her nest. I watched over you when you didn't even know about it. I don't know if any of you have been seeing it or not, but up in Iowa, they've got a camera on a pair of eagles that are hatching out little ones. And that's where I got to thinking about this, as I got to looking up scripture as I look at that on my computer. And today, it's about almost as nasty there as it is here. And that old eagle is sitting there on that nest, and those little ones are under her, and they're warm, and she's wet. The wind's blowing. You can see her feathers move. And she's sitting there on that nest taking care of those little eagles. And there's not a thought in their mind that they're going to perish. The trees swaying back and forth, and she's sitting there keeping her young ones sheltered. God is always on duty. He's on duty when we're asleep. He's on duty when we preach His Word, and it looks like we preached the sorriest sermon we ever got up with. He could save some soul with one or two points. God hasn't left us. Jesus is coming. And we're all well cared for. I realize that in every crowd of people, some people are better off than others financially. Some people are better off than others health-wise. Some people are better off than others mentally. But all of it is up to our Heavenly Father. And He's given a portion to us that He is pleased to give to us. And He calls us to service, regardless of our circumstances. Paul could speak even of death oft, and having the sentence that was death. But as the little eagles, many, so to speak, last minute intervention on the part of loving concern, learned by what that strange way of love has intended to teach us, that to gradually turn that which in itself would have been the destruction to be our servant. As you know, Brother Clark and I had always had a good relationship. And one time, my wife and I were heartbroken, and we were at a conference, and Brother Clark came up to both of us, and we were crying. And he put his little short arms around us, and he pulled us up to him. And he said, Brother Jerry, Damona Ree is what he called her, because that's what they all called her in Arkansas. He said, Brother Jerry and Damona Ree, God hadn't died. And someday you'll have some friends, or you'll have some church members, or you'll have some loved ones that are brokenhearted over something that's happened, and you'll be able to help them. Sometimes that's all it takes. I've seen Brother Clark cry over his own children, his own families. Paul could say things which had happened to him had fallen out for the furtherance of the gospel in Philippians 1 and 12. Death is actually a kind messenger to take us home to glory when it comes our time to go, regardless of how we leave this life. So the Lord teaches us, and the development stages in our lives are such that they can be compared to the nest of the eagle. She fluffs it up,
And as the eaglets develop feathers and they develop strength in their wings and they get to where they can stand up and they do all of this and they begin to imitate their parents when their parents land on the edge of the nest. And one day, the mother eagle will root herself around and get under one of them and she'll jump out of the nest while he's on her back. And she teaches him to fly by flying with him or her on her wings. Sometimes she'll turn upside down and let them fall off to see how they'll do. And if they don't do very well, she flies under them and takes them back to the nest. God ever do you that way?
Yep.
You ever go to church on Sunday and you have a real spiritual high time? And maybe you've had problems with your temper. I'm sure no Baptist here has that problem. And you go home and you say, you know what? I'm going to do better this week than I've been doing. My temper's not going to do me like it did last week. And it doesn't. It does you worse than it did last week. Huh? Some of you are with me. We're connecting. Folks, we're frail. We have to be preached to. We have to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have to look to the love and care of God and realize what He's done for us. And there are certain things that happen to us that develop us and draw us closer to Him and shake us to our very foundation and yet strengthen us where we know He keeps His promises and does what He says. I'm not going to starve to death, folks, no matter what happens to the economy. God says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness and all these things that the Gentile world seeks after, that the untaught world seeks after, are yours. I'll take care of you. It's a promise. The Lord teaches us and brings us into a spiritual state of submission, living by faith. But He does it with some rough flights. He does it with some scary training. He does it when we don't know what is going to happen next. And we have no idea even how to plan. Paul said, to coin some of his phrases and put them maybe in a little bit more modern English, he talks about Christ who delivered us. In another place he talks about Christ who will deliver us and then will also still deliver us. He delivered us when He saved us. He delivers us day by day. He's delivered us from some sicknesses or diseases. And He will still deliver us. And if we succumb to something in the future and die, He'll deliver us from that. We'll go to glory.
Amen.
You don't lose. The training sometimes is rough. And it brings about weeping in our lives. But He trains us to master the elements. If you go out in Colorado sometimes and go up in the mountains and watch a thunderstorm roll in, if you look real close up above the thunderstorms, the eagles are flying. They ride the wind above the storms. Do our circumstances cause us to fall and flop helplessly on the ground? Or in our circumstances, do we learn to trust the Lord? You know, I'm getting kind of ornery. When God gets me just right, there's some things that still scare me when I get up and preach about them because I don't know how they're going to come out. But I'm called to be faithful to the Lord. But I know I'm not going to starve to death. I've got 10 more months till full Social Security benefits. And if somebody wants to have a little fit at me, I can leave it with them. But I can't. Because that's not my calling. You feel like it sometimes. I'm being brutally honest here. Go get me a fishing pole and go down on the farm and fish. I want to get tired of fishing, hunt. But you can't do that and serve the Lord. There's some endurance involved.
And what we're seeing today, which is a byproduct, not of what our churches preach and teach, but what we're seeing today is shallow Christianity. If there's any difficulty, run away. Get out of the pew. Don't give anymore if something doesn't go just right. If that's the way it's going to be, I'll go home. We can't do that and serve the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right.
Our call is to stay in the nest and feel the thorns and be taught how to fly by the good hand of God and serve and do what we're designed to do. And an eagle that can't fly is shameful. They were designed to fly. Sometimes compassionate people will take one with a broken wing or that's had some kind of a calamity. And as soon as that eagle starts getting some strength, it starts trying to fly again. And when it gets strength, it flies. It's designed to fly. As Christians, we are designed to serve Paul.
Amen.
A servant of the Lord Jesus Christ in Romans chapter 1. A servant. Jesus said, the servant is not greater than his master. Jesus came into the world and he did the will of the Father. And part of it was a learning process for him as Jesus the man. There wasn't any problem with him doing what the Father sent him to do. But he submitted to the place of a servant and went to the cross for us so that we might have eternal life. What's this all about? The eagle's nest, stirred up her wings. It's about developing a capacity and ascendancy in us to make us spiritually responsible, competent, and assured. In that process, the Lord is seeking to get established in us faith in His divine wisdom. By the time the young eagle has wings and feathers and strength to fly, he has seen his parents stand on the edge of the nest and flop their wings back and forth and raise themselves up and sit back down. And he has a good idea what is involved in flying before he ever leaves the nest the first time. As mom takes him or dad takes him on his flights, he has confidence built up. And he begins to trust their wisdom. We see the wisdom in our Heavenly Father in our adversity. We see the wisdom of our Heavenly Father in our pain. We see the wisdom of our Heavenly Father in even the grievous things that we've had to go through in our life, which we would not have volunteered for, but He develops them in us. I've had some things, if I could undo them or redo them, I'd be glad to. But sometimes you just have to endure some things if you serve the Lord. The last thought is about the eagle's nest. From the time they're hatched until the time they fly, the education is progressive. It never lets up. The eagle continually is in a teaching mode. And as soon as these can fly, and they're taught to hunt and catch food for themselves, she may even produce a late hatch and start all over again. Someone said, jokingly one time, that they understood some certain problems in the animal kingdom. And I'll not go all the way. But the very statement that they made, even jokingly, shows that the bringing up of children and even having grandchildren and seeing them developed involves a certain amount of joy and it involves a certain amount of pain. But we learn over time how to help them. And they learn from us how to help their own offspring when they go through these times. And it may try our faith, but God is able. He can teach us. The mother eagle knows when wisdom dictates that they need a rest. The Lord is no less wise with us. He spreads our training over an extended and what we might call a graduated course. The beginners couldn't stand what those further on are called accept. And it would be sacrificing all of the teaching to push them too far too quick, because they'd surely die. I've been a few times in my life and in my ministry where I'd say, Lord, I'd like to just die. And then I'd get scared he was going to answer that prayer and back out. You know, we get to feel sorry for ourselves and we want to die. But we really don't. If we'd get real sick about the time we asked the Lord to let us die, we'd start praying for him to help us live. So as the eagle stirreth up her nest, our Heavenly Father knows just exactly what's best for us, and he uses the metaphor of the eagle and her nest. There are many more things that you can dig out of this if you do a lot of research. God's been good to us. In 1963, I fell off my roof a week before the Bible conference. Some of our members said, why did you climb up on your roof before the Bible conference? Last year in February, I had my shoulder operated on. And it's better. The funeral director told me later when we had a funeral, he said, we bury people every year that did what you did. I said, thanks. But God was good to me. Fell about 11 or 12 feet, hit on my shoulder first, my neck slapped the ground, I had a knot up here, and I'm an Arkansas boy. We didn't call an ambulance to lay in our front yard for 30 minutes waiting to get there. I got up and had my wife drive me to the hospital. They said, you know what you could have done to your spine if you'd have broken something? No, I just knew I could walk after I got up, and I thought I'd have my wife bring me to the hospital. Had insurance, could have got paid for the ambulance ride. I just don't do things that way. But I will next time, if I ever fall again. You don't have to worry about me. I'll lay there and cry until they come get me, because I did do some crying that day. But and all of that, God's been good to me. But you know what? I was a lost preacher for 16 years. And God saved me by his grace, and he knew just how to do it. Amen. Now that is the real basis of all God's goodness to me. Thank you for listening to me preach. May God bless you.